This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration blends classroom learning with extensive field education, guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. A former downstate sheriff's deputy who is charged with murdering a Springfield area resident, Sonia Massey, last year, took the witness stand today. My colleague Mawa Iqbal is following the trial in Peoria and reports Sean Grayson faces three counts of first-degree murder for killing Massey, who was unarmed, in her home after she had called 911 for help. Grayson testified Massey was going to throw a pot of boiling water at him. He said he had ordered Massey to move the pot off her stove top, to which Massey responded, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus," end quote. Grayson says he matched the threat level and the only thing that would have stopped the threat was my duty weapon. The prosecution argues Grayson violated several de-escalation tactics and killed Massey unlawfully. Places like churches and hospitals used to be considered safe spaces to offer legal help for immigrants, but the Trump administration changed its enforcement policy, so this is no longer the case, and now some legal advocates are turning to consulates instead. The diplomatic offices are ruled by international agreements the U.S. cannot change on its own. Peter Lopresi is an advocate with the Chicago law firm Samaritan Law, and he tells our In the Loop program ICE agents cannot just walk into a consulate.
It would be like sending American troops or enforcement into another foreign country. It really is, for legal purposes and also transactional purposes, it is like being in your home country.
Samaritan Law is sending volunteers and lawyers to consulates across the city. They can meet with people, look for issues in their legal cases, and see if there are ways they can help. These services are free. Hundreds of Illinois political candidates lined up early this morning to get their names on next year's primary ballot. First in line on the first day of filing at the State Board of Elections in Springfield means your name is number one on the ballot. My colleague Alex Degman reports some people think name placement helps them stand out among crowded fields. Governor J.B. Pritzker is seeking a third term, but would not commit to a full 4 years if he wins.
What I can commit to you is that I'm going to work very hard every single day that I'm in office for the people of Illinois, and every decision that I make is really about what's best for the people of Illinois.
Meantime, Republican Ted Dabrowski hopes to unseat the governor. He says Pritzker had his chance.
We're spending $16 billion more today than we were spending when Pritzker took office, and the state government is still out of money.
The primary election is March 17th. And Chicago Bears quarterback Caleb Williams says the team is having some trouble capitalizing on key moments. The Bears' four-game winning streak came to a tough end yesterday, losing to the Ravens in Baltimore 30-16. The Bears' offense started out in sync, but could muster only two field goals in the red zone. Williams says the team needs to be able to convert those opportunities into touchdowns.
We got to find a way to get an end zone. And we got to find a way to stop the bleeding when you start bleeding. And I think I can do a better job with that, helping out and leading these guys.
The Bears are 4-3 and are hoping for better luck on the road Sunday against the Bengals in Cincinnati. You're listening to The Rundown. In recent months, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility in West Suburban Broadview has become a place where religious leaders say immigrants lack access to spiritual care and where clergy have been attacked while speaking out against the Trump administration. Religious leaders say such practices violate religious liberties and contradict the administration's claim to the U.S. as a Christian nation. My colleague Esther Yoon-Ji Kang has the story.
On a sunny fall Saturday earlier this month, hundreds of Catholics marched more than a mile from a parish in West Suburban Maywood to the ICE facility in Broadview, the next town over.
Mother of mercy, pray for us.
Singing and praying the whole time, they were led by a group of clergy who were hoping to go inside to give Holy Communion to the immigrants picked up by ICE. They were denied entry, which was upsetting for Sister Joanne Persh, who had worked behind the scenes to try to get the clergy in. The 91-year-old nun has ministered to immigrants inside and outside Broadview for decades. She says in the past, she and other clergy could have worked something out with ICE to offer pastoral care to immigrants inside Broadview.
We could have gotten in and talked logically and humanely to ICE officers.
But now?
Oh, no. Not with what's going on there now. Our government has set a different tone.
Persh and other religious leaders say immigrants inside the Broadview facility are being denied access to spiritual care and that their First Amendment religious rights are being violated. Homeland Security officials say the Broadview facility abides strictly by the national detention standards, which guarantee people the right to worship, access to a chaplain, and other religious resources. One immigrant held there recently said there was none of that. He didn't even see a Bible inside. And outside the building, religious leaders who have shown up to pray and protest have been met with force by federal agents.
What happened to me was horrific.
That's Pastor David Black of the First Presbyterian Church of Chicago. You've probably heard of him by now. The photo of Black being tear-gassed by ICE agents, plus the video of him being shot in the head with a pepper ball, have gone viral in recent weeks.
If this is how they are treating peaceful protesters, clergy, people with open hands who are praying, singing songs, then what they might be doing to our neighbors who are in captivity behind closed doors is unimaginable and horrifying.
DHS officials say he was blocking traffic and was given a warning. Black says neither of those things is true.
This administration claims to be a Christian administration in a Christian country. It is using the gospel as a prop for a political ideology, which is a disgrace to the gospel and a disgrace to the God that I serve as a Christian minister.
Wheaton College Assistant Professor Alex Haskins says the Trump administration evokes Bible verses and Christian imagery to justify its policies. But what's going on inside and outside the walls of the Broadview facility are not in line with the teachings of the Christian faith.
If we're called to love the least of these, if we're called to welcome the stranger, if we're called to do all these things, this isn't the way to do it.
But also, Haskins says what's happening at Broadview should matter to anyone who professes the Christian faith and values the Constitution.
If you care about religious liberty and the freedom to practice religion, then you need to be thinking about the ways that those who are being held and also clergy who have approached them are not able to do that.
He says what's happening to immigrants and protesters in this moment is unjust, and it's within the wheelhouse of Christians to resist and speak out. Esther Yunji Kang, WBEZ News.
Weather today, sunny skies, high in the mid-50s, clear and cold tonight, a low in the mid-40s, and sunny on Tuesday, high again in the mid to upper 50s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thanks for listening.